Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Sports Chat with your boy T Wash. Today's show is going to be a nice friendly debate on James Harden of the Houston Rockets. And basically, I just want to know if James Harden is good enough to get you where you need to be, and that's getting the Houston Rockets to the Western Conference Finals and taking on Golden State and propelling them to the finals. And I'm welcoming anybody who's willing to debate me on James Harden and on why I don't think that he's good enough to do it. James Harden is averaging 32.4 points per game this season. He's also averaging 5 rebounds and 9.2 assists. And that's something that James Harden do. I mean, he's the stat stuffer, you know. I mean, he puts up numbers, but when it matters most, what is he going to do? Is he going to be able to perform in the clutch moments? When the game's on the line, when the playoff series on the line, I don't know. And that's why I have this show topic of let's debate it. What do you guys think? Do you guys think James Harden's good enough? And also, as usual, my show doesn't just focus on the topics I throw out. I mean, this is a sports show. So if you have any type of sport, you know, or something that you want to talk about, we could also go off into that. It doesn't just have to be the topics that I'm throwing out. And I see we have an early caller, so I'm going to take this call and see who this is. What's going on? This Sports Chat with T. Wash. Who's calling? Okay, I'm not getting anything, so I'm going to hang up. Hello?
Hello, T. Wash.
Hey, how you doing? I thought I didn't have you there for a minute. What's going on?
Okay, this is the Idaho Kid calling in again. Listen, I didn't know I was on the air. I just called a minute before you went on, and I didn't realize that you were talking to me. But as long as you are, maybe we can get the conversation started. And you were speaking about James Harden. You were asking if he's good enough to get to where we need to be or I need to be.
Well, is he good enough to get the Houston Rockets where they need to be? Is he good enough to get them to the Western Conference Finals? And is he good enough to propel his team, the Houston Rockets, over the Golden State Warriors to get to the, you know, the NBA Finals? And that's what I want to know, because I just don't have any faith in James Harden. I have a history as far as my likeness for James Harden, and I guess it goes back to the 2012 NBA Finals when he played for the team I rooted for, which was Oklahoma Thunder, and he just completely disappeared in that series. And you know, that team had Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and they were facing LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, the big three of Miami Heat, and it's like James Harden just didn't show up. So because of that series and other series I've seen him underperforming, I just don't have any faith that he'll show up in the crucial moments.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from. Well, James Harden, you know, I don't follow basketball that much until the playoffs or whatever comes along. But I was watching in the game the other day, and you know something, me, I'm a little biased on this particular subject because, you know, I normally pull for the underdogs. So I would definitely be happy to see the Rockets going, if they go into the end in the finals, and if they were in there with the Golden State Warriors, I would love to see somebody take that team down. But as far as James Harden's concerned, I think he could do it. The problem or the question is, will he do it? So
yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, that's my comment on that. You said he's averaging, what, 32 points a game?
Mm-hmm. 32 points a game, 5 rebounds, 9 assists.
Mm-hmm.
That's the season averages right now.
Okay, well, you know, he can really do it. I mean, and I would love to see him excel to that and play as we expect him to play and get up there. But any team that goes against the Golden State Warriors, I'm sorry, the underdog. I have to pull for the underdog. So if you mentioned Houston Rockets, yeah, I'll go for that, you know. As far as James Harden, I haven't followed his stats as much as you have, but I think he can do it. We'll just have to wait and see on that note, huh?
Oh, yeah. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's going to be how he does in the playoffs. You know, that's what it all comes down to. To me, the regular season really doesn't mean much. I mean, right now, they're in second place in the West because of their loss last night. So they're right behind Golden State. And they're right there. But I can't see them beating Golden State in a 7-game series in the playoffs. I mean, I like that they added Chris Paul to the team. But, I mean, you can look at some of the downfalls of Chris Paul. He's kind of in the same boat as James Harden. He's had good teams around him, but hasn't proven it in the playoffs when it means the most. So you kind of got two players in the same backcourt, you know, that play the same and kind of have the same, you know, ghosts hovering around them. They can't perform when it matters most.
Yeah, that could be a problem at times. But I just hope that Mr. Harden does his thing and pull him out and get all within the finalization plays, and that he will knock off Golden State Warriors. Thanks for the information. I'm enjoying your show so far, just starting off. Good luck to you on that. God bless. And you're doing a pretty good job, I think, in my personal opinion.
All right. Thanks, Idaho Kid. I appreciate it. You can call on Fridays. I do my show on Fridays from 6:30 to 8 Eastern time. Please feel free to call. And remember, you know, my show isn't just about the topics I throw out. You know, if you got any type of sports topic you want to talk about, then you could throw that out and we could discuss it.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much. And I'm enjoying your program.
All right. Thank you, Kid. All right. That was Idaho Kid Sam. I have another caller. Let's see who this is. What's going on? It's Sports Chat with T. Wise. Who's calling?
Is Jeremiah?
What?
Jeremiah, yeah.
What's going on, man?
I have a question. Like, how many championships do you?
How many championships? What? I think I lost you. Try to call back. All right. Now, getting back into my little debate about James Harden. I mean, the guy had a game last night where he literally blew the game. They lost to the Boston Celtics. They were beating the Boston Celtics by 26 points, basically the whole game last night in Boston. And he finished that game with 34 points. But don't let that fool you. James Harden shot 7 for 27 from the field. He shot 5 for 15 from the three-point line. And he had 6 rebounds, 10 assists, and he basically went 15 to 15 from the free-throw line. So the bulk of his points came from the free-throw line. And, I mean, you got to know, everybody in the NBA know that Marcus Smart is an irritant. James Harden basically lost that game last night for the Rockets. They blew a 26-point lead. Kyrie Irving brought him back, and a lot of the Celtics players made big plays. I mean, the Morris twin, he hit some big shots. Terry Rozier hit some big shots. Of course, Kyrie Irving did his thing, and my second youngster for Rookie of the Year, Jason Tatum, he came through. But James Harden, I swear, within 40 seconds, he had two offensive fouls, and it basically jacked the game. And they both own Marcus Smart. I mean, you got to be smarter than that. You know Marcus Smart is an irritant, but you let him get in your head, and he blew the game. And, you know, after the game, he complained about the calls. I mean, you let Marcus Smart get to you, and you shoved him off. You offensive fouled him, you know. So, I don't know. Like I said, I just really don't have much faith in James Harden. And, like I said, it goes back to that 2012 NBA Finals where he completely disappeared. I mean, the dude, he only averaged 12.4 points in the five games against the Miami Heat in their big three. He went 7 of 22 from the three-point line in the five-game series in that finals. I mean, that was my first time ever seeing James Harden pass up open shots. I mean, you tell me, when was the last time you seen James Harden pass up an open three or open shot, period? It was like he was shook in that finals. He passed up shots and everything. So, like I said, I want to know from you guys, can James Harden get you where you need to be when it matters most? If you guys have an opinion on James Harden, give me a call, because my opinion is that he can't. And even with the addition of Chris Paul, he can't, because they both the same type of player. They both underperform when it matters most. So hit me up to tell me what you think. 1-347-855-8034. All right, I got another call on the line. Let's see who this is. What's going on? This is T. Wash.
Yeah, this is Q from Indianapolis.
What's going on, Q?
Yeah, I wanted to say something about James Harden. I think he's not to beat up on him or anything, but he's a good player for the most part during the season. But I also agree that when the game's on the line, well, when it comes down to it, he pretty much won't win the championship, because I think he still hasn't gotten to the point mentally where he needs to maybe put it all on the line and, you know, play a little bit harder for him to, you know, reach that next step. So, in my opinion, I think he's going to be the next Tracy McGrady, except he might get a little farther in the playoff, but he won't go to the promised land. Good show,
Bob. All right. All right. Thank you, Q. I appreciate it. I do this every Friday from 6:30 to 8. Feel free to call anytime. All right. That was Q calling out of Indianapolis, and I appreciate it. And he's right. I mean, James Harden has already made it further than Tracy McGrady. And, you know, Tracy McGrady was that type of player, too. He's a stat stuffer. He's a Hall of Famer. You know, James Harden will be a Hall of Famer just because of the numbers, the sheer numbers he put up and his all-around type of game. Not defensively. James Harden's one of the worst defensive players ever. But offensively, he has all the tools. So James Harden will be a Hall of Famer, but he's going to unfortunately be one of those type of Hall of Famers that don't win a ring, you know. I mean, that's not, you know, that doesn't doom you or anything. He just be a real good player that's a Hall of Famer that don't get a ring, in my opinion. I mean, he's a stat stuffer. He could do all that. But when it matters most, like Q said, what is he going to bring to the table? Just like McGrady. McGrady, the furthest he made it was the second round of the playoffs. And it took him about 5 years to get out of the first round. At least James Harden has made a final. He's made a West final, but he ended up losing to Golden State. You know, the team that they're trying to supplant this year, and I just don't see it happening. You know, like I said, Chris Paul has a lot to prove. James Harden has a lot to prove, and they have a team full of three-point shooters. I mean, you got Eric Gordon, Indianapolis own Eric Gordon. He shoots a lot of threes. Not really great of a defender. They got Ryan Anderson. He shoots threes. Not really great of a defender. Now, I do like their center, Clint Capella. He's pretty good. He plays defense. He blocks shots. He gets the garbage buckets. He get put back dunks. He get alley-oops. You know, James Harden and Chris Paul set him up nicely to get easy buckets. Trevor Ariza, he's a good defender. You know, one of the best defenders in the NBA. They had a good defender at point guard, Patrick Beverley, but they had to give him up in order to get Chris Paul. So I guess you can make that swap. But, you know, when it comes down to it, Patrick Beverley can lock down somebody. I mean, Chris Paul's a good defender, too. I don't want to sit here and sell him short. He's a good defender, too. Like I said, it just, what is he going to do when it matters most? Like I said, he had a great team around him. He had Blake Griffin. He had DeAndre Jordan. I mean, he had J.J. Redick. He had a lot of good players around him, and they never could get to the promised land. And I see the same thing with Houston. They're not going to beat Golden State in the seven-game series. I mean, let's be honest. Trevor Ariza is a good defender, but he can't guard Durant. I mean, we've already seen what Steph Curry could do to Chris Paul. I mean, if you don't believe me, go look at a YouTube video and see how Steph Curry embarrassed Chris Paul, shook him up real bad. He did it like two or three times, shook him and like made him fall. He can't guard Steph. And then Klay Thompson. I mean, what, Eric Gordon's going to guard Klay Thompson? I don't see that happening. And then Draymond Green, the Swiss Army knife, he's going to get in somebody's head from the Houston Rockets. He's going to get in somebody's head. He's going to rebound the ball. He's going to do everything he needs to do to win. So, seven-game series, I just don't see James Harden doing it. But I want somebody to call me and tell me. I want a James Harden believer to call me and tell me why they think James Harden is good enough to get the Houston Rockets over the hump and get to the NBA Finals. If you can tell me that, if you're a James Harden fan, or if you're not a James Harden fan, you know, call me and tell me what you think. Do you agree with me that I don't think he's going to be able to get the Warriors to the promised land? I'm sorry, the Rockets to the promised land. Or do you disagree with me and think that James Harden is good enough to get the Rockets where they want to go? Hit me up. 1-347-855-8034. And we could talk about it. But like I said before, you know, it doesn't have to be these topics. If you want to talk about any sports, talk about what's going on in the NFL right now. The playoffs about to start. You got bowl games going on right now for NCAA football. I mean, you got a lot of things happening right now. So if you want to talk about that, we could talk about that. If you got a favorite NBA team you want to talk about, we could talk about that. This show is open to whatever sports topic you want, not just the ones that I'm throwing out. But I do want to hear from a James Harden fan that believe that he can get the Houston Rockets over the hump and beat Golden State in the seven-game series. All right. 1-347-855-8034. Hit me back. With your boy T. Wash, is there anybody out there that want to defend James Harden? Anybody I want to know, do you believe James Harden can get you where you need to be as far as the Houston Rockets? Can the addition of Chris Paul help get them over the hump? Can they beat the Golden State Warriors? Can they maintain this record that they have going on right now? I say right now, since they lost last night to Boston, they're second in the West behind the Golden State Warriors. Do they have the stability to maintain what they're doing right now? I mean, they had a nice little winning streak going on there for a minute. They lost their last few games. But I want to know, is there any James Harden fans out there? You know, another thing that really turned me off about James Harden, other than him completely disappearing in that 2012 finals against the Heat, another thing that turned me off is that, okay, I mean, in the playoffs this past year, when they played the San Antonio Spurs, they lost that series 4-2. And in the closeout game in Houston, in his stadium, the man didn't show up at all. It's like he didn't even want to be there. I mean, they got destroyed, man. They got beat by practically 30 points, Spurs, in a closeout game in their building. James Harden went 2-11 from the field. I mean, he scored a pathetic 10 points. He only took 10 shots. I mean, when do you see James Harden not be aggressive when it comes to scoring? And see, that's what I mean as far as the big moment. They needed him to force a game 7. And he just didn't show up. He went 2-11, scored 10 points. And, I mean, he just wasn't there. Like, it was a completely different person. And then the thing that made it so bad, why I lost a little respect for him, is after the game, you know, pictures show up of this dude at a strip joint partying after his team just got spanked like that at home in a closeout playoff game. I mean, that just told me he really didn't care. I mean, you got to play with some pride. And I just didn't see that pride out of James Harden. I didn't see him do anything. And, you know, that's the point I'm making, is that I can't trust James Harden, you know, especially if I was a Houston Rockets fan. I wouldn't trust him. When it matters most, I don't trust him. So I want to know who out there has faith in James Harden. Who believe in him? 1-347-855-8034. I need somebody to tell me about James Harden and what they think about him. And while I'm waiting for somebody to call me about James Harden, I'm going to do my NBA rundown of last night's games. Okay, you had the Detroit Pistons falling to the Orlando Magic 102-89. Tobias Harris led the Pistons with 21 points, and Elfrid Payton, the kid with the weird hairdo, I mean, it's a jacked up hairdo. He basically almost had a triple double. He finished with 19-8-8. Both of these teams, I mean, Pistons right now, they're in the Eastern Conference playoffs. If it was to start today, they would be in the mix. But the Magic, they haven't really been good since Dwight Howard left. So, I mean, they have a couple of good players. You know, that Evan Fournier kid, he's pretty good. And then, you know, Elfrid Payton, he's okay. Like I say, he just has a weird hairdo, but he's all right. And then they have the center, Nikola Vucevic. He's pretty good, too. Oh, and Aaron Gordon. I forgot about Aaron Gordon, who should have won the dunk contest a couple years ago, but they gave it to Zach LaVine, and I think Aaron Gordon should have won it because I still never seen a dunk like he did. I mean, this dude did an alley-oop dunk. He was, like, basically sitting down in the air and caught it and dunked it with his left hand. He should have won that dunk contest, but they gave it to Zach LaVine. As far as the Pistons, you know, like I said, they have Tobias Harris. He led them in scoring. Here, Reggie Jackson, former Oklahoma City Thunder player. Avery Bradley, who's one of the best defensive guards, and I think Boston should have kept him. But, I mean, the way Boston, man, they showing they really don't need him. And these young cats playing defense and everything for the Celtics, you know, basically have them in first place in the East right now. Okay, the next game was that James Harden game, the Rockets and the Celtics. Celtics won 99-98, and the Rockets were basically leading for, you know, basically the whole game, like by 20 points. They blew a 26-point lead, and like I said, in the closing minutes, James Harden received two offensive fouls because he let Marcus Smart get in his head, and he pushed him off both times, and it basically cost them the game. But James Harden finished with 34. Like I said, 15 of those points came from the free throw line. He didn't have a great shooting night, going basically 7 for 27 from the field and 5 of 15 from the three-point line. So all his points came from the free throw line. I mean, 5 of 15 from the three-point line, I'm sorry. All his points came from the free throw line. All right, my team of interest, the Philadelphia 76ers, they went to Portland last night and blew a lead. They had a big lead themselves, and they blew it. And they fell to the Blazers, 114-110. One of my favorite players, because he reminded me of my favorite center of all time, Hakeem Olajuwon. Joel Embiid, man, I mean, you got to be impressed with this big man. He had 29 points, and the dude hit 6 threes, man. I mean, Joel Embiid is a beast. If he could just stay healthy, the sky's the limit for this kid. I mean, he blocks shots. He can score inside and out. He has a post game. He studied his game after basically Hakeem Olajuwon, so he has all sorts of post moves. And then push comes to shove, the dude could step out there behind that line and shoot threes. He had 6 threes in the game last night. And the dude's 7-2. The Blazers were led by C.J. McCollum, who finished with 34 points. One of my favorite point guards, my boy Dame Dollar, who I'm going to let you guys hear a little bit of his song on my next break. He didn't play last night. Something's wrong with his knee, so he's been out the last couple of games. So you know that backcourt, C.J. McCollum and Dame Lillard, one of the best in the NBA. It was C.J. McCollum time to shine last night without Dame Dollar being there, so he had 34. I mean, you got the likes of Shabazz Napier, who was a former star at UConn. He had a good game. He finished with like 22, so he played. Then you got Evan Turner, you know, one of those Swiss Army knife type of players who did it all, you know, scored a little bit, passed, distributed. And you had the Timberwolves falling to the Bucks, 102-96. Karl-Anthony Towns led the Timberwolves with 22 points. Jimmy Butler, he finished with 20. And who led the Bucks was Eric Bledsoe. He also got a little help from the Greek Freak, of course, you know, one of the future stars in the NBA. And he's another one. You know, once he develops a jump shot, it's going to be no stopping that kid. So we'll see how far they can go. I mean, I honestly got to say, this has been an interesting NBA season. And I haven't been really interested in the NBA like this probably since the late 90s. You know, because to me, that was real basketball. In the 80s and late 90s, that was real basketball. People played for the love of the game. It seems like now people play just for the money. You know, it was more for the love of the game back then. And today's game is so sissified now. I mean, you can get a hard foul back then. That's just the way it was played. Nothing came easy. You went to the basket, you paid for it. And now you got these big muscle-bound people like LeBron James. And I like LeBron James. He good, but he would cry too much. You got guys like him whining, you know, about a hit. I mean, what is the defender supposed to do? Just let you go to the hole and just dunk it and, you know, don't attempt to play no defense? No, don't attempt to be physical with you? You know? And that's why it's good. Down to our knees. That was a mess up. That's why the NBA was real back then. I have a call, so let's see who this is.
Hey, Darren.
What's going on?
Dave.
Hey, what's going on, Dave? How you doing? How you doing,
I'm
buddy?
I'm all right. I'm all right, man. I'm just a little late calling in, but
trying to figure out what's going on with sports today, and you're the man to talk to.
Yeah.
James Harden. James Harden, I saw that. You were wanting to talk about that. Have you talked to anybody about that at all?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple people, but remember, man, you can talk about – we can even go into your soccer if you want. It doesn't just have to be I told you, it doesn't have to be the topics I throw out. You can throw some back my way too. But, yeah, James Harden, I basically want to know if you have faith in him. Do you believe that he's good enough to get his team out of the Western Conference and into the championship series, the finals? Is he good enough to beat the Golden State Warriors in the 7-game series?
Man, I think it all depends on if he can play with his teammates and not be selfish. That's just my opinion, but as long as he can play with his team, hey, anything is possible.
Yeah, that's true, but there's been so many situations where he hasn't shown up. I mean, I just talked about how last year in the playoff series, against the San Antonio Spurs, they lost that series 4-2. But in game 6, the game where they needed him the most, the closeout game in Houston, his team lost by like 36 points, and he only shot 2 of 11 from the field and scored 10 points and act like he didn't want to be there. And then after the game, he showed up at the strip club. He was at the strip club partying like he didn't even care.
It's like where's the heart?
Yeah, exactly. Where's the heart? So it's like, can I trust him to show up when it matters most? You know,
That's true.
Like I was saying earlier, my gripe with James Harden goes back because I was a big Oklahoma City Thunder fan. And when James Harden played with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and when they played in that finals against Miami Heat and their big three of LeBron, Bosh, and Wade, James Harden didn't show up. Dude only averaged 12 points per game in that series, and he shot 7-22 from the three-point line, and he passed up a lot of shots. It was like he disappeared when they needed him the most in that final series against Miami. And it's like, and that's what I'm saying, it's like when it matters the most, is he going to show up? Is he going to, is he going to pick or is he going to choke? And from what I've seen, disappeared in those moments. So that's why I don't have any faith that he can, be good enough and make his team better enough where they can beat Golden State.
Yeah. Here's my other question for you. Going to football now with, Harrison. Is that from Pittsburgh? He went to New England. Is that Harrison?
Yes. Yeah, James Harrison.
What do you think about that move?
Because
he didn't get enough playing time,
No, they didn't. They didn't play him, man. He probably played like the first couple games, and from what I've read, he's been wondering. Like he talked to Mike Tomlin, and was basically asking him what is his role on the team. And then he's like, I understand you have a lot of young guys and you want to play them, so won't you just release me? They said he asked for his release multiple times, but they kept telling him, oh, don't worry about it, we got a role for you, we're gonna use you, and they just never did. So they released him, and hey, he was on waivers, so any team in the NFL could have picked him up, but they didn't. And he became a free agent. And so the Patriots swooped in. The Patriots need linebacker help. They need somebody that can set that edge. And James, they hoping James Harrison, a bit that type, that can go in there and set that edge for him. But
well, think about it is, I know
I'm
he's
not understanding.
37?
James, he's 39. James Harrison is 39.
But I tell you what, but every time he went in there to play, he was around that quarterback. So that's why I could not understand why Pittsburgh kept benching him and not playing more. Even at his age, he's in heck of shape right now. Because
they decided to go with Bud Dupree.
Yeah, so New England was the only team who wanted to pick him up. That just, I don't care about his age. I mean, he is a phenomenal player, so – to me, it's like if I was Harrison, I'd be like, heck yeah, I want to go to New England, man. We're going to go to the Super Bowl maybe,
Yeah, yeah. the Patriots picked him up because, like I said, they have a need at that spot. The Patriots' defense, run defense, is one of the worst in the league. So they need somebody to set that edge. And that's why they picked him up, so he could set that edge. And then why not pick him up for this playoff run? Why not? I'm pretty sure when he talked to Belichick, Belichick convinced him, hey, look, you have a chance to get to a Super Bowl. And basically the Steelers, they fans and the players, they feel like he's a traitor. Well, hell, you let him go.
Why? Yeah, you
what
let him
he
go.
Supposed
he's
to
a
do?
Traitor.
What is he supposed to do? He supposed to just sit around? Or what, was he supposed to go to the Browns? If he went to the Browns, nobody would say anything.
Now, I've talked to a few my brother-in-law is a Steelers fan, and he actually doesn't feel that way. He's like he's saying what you're saying. Hey, you're not going to play me. Hey, I'm not mad at you. I want you to go play because you're a great Steelers player. You will always be a Steelers player. You want to go to New England? I think that's the problem because they're rivals. I mean, I think that was the biggest problem with Steelers fans because they are rivals.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, but hey.
That's all it is. They're just mad because he's going to help the Patriots. And there's a chance they're going to play each other again to go to the Super Bowl. There's
Wouldn't
a big chance they're
going
to play each other to go to the Super Bowl.
I think there's a huge chance, and that would be a phenomenal game. Ratings will be high. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So how's the talk show going?
Man, it's going great, man. You know you're on the air right now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just I caught it late, so I was trying to call on here, and I was trying to listen to everybody, and I got on here too late because I have – you know, it's holidays. Hey, we have family at home, so, you know.
Well, you're my third caller, and I see that I have another call waiting, but you're my third caller, so it's going good, man. You know, just trying to make this happy for everybody, man. You know I love talking sports, and I want to talk to people who love to talk about sports. That's what this show
is
about.
I can't talk soccer.
Like I said.
I can't talk soccer because there's nothing going on, so.
Yeah, you know I'm a novice with that. I told you, you might have to be my soccer guy.
Damn U.S. team. All right, well, thanks, Terrence. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Dave. Hey, man, you have a good new year, bud.
Yeah,
all right.
You too. All right, bye.
All right, that was my man Dave out of Bloomington. Let's see who this next person is I have on the line.
Oh.
What's going on? This Sports Chat with T-Wash. Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Naj in Atlanta. Hey, give me
Hey,
one
what's
minute,
going on,
Naj? Let me mute myself for 1 minute because I got a lot of noise over here.
Okay.
Get quiet.
While I'm waiting on Nas to get back on, I guess I could talk about. I'm gonna talk a little more about James Harden. I just can't let the James Harden thing go, man. I mean, it's like I said, he. I just think that he's gonna, you know, he's gonna be one of those types that never get over the hump. Chris Paul, the addition of Chris Paul, really not going to make much of a difference. I really don't have much faith in him. You know, he needs to show and prove, man. I mean, you can't get blown out by 36 points, you know, against the Spurs and then go to a doggone strip club, man. I mean, that just shows that you really don't care at all. You know, you just, oh, well, ho-hum, so what? I'm rich. I'm paid. I don't care. I mean, you're supposed to be in the sport to try to win championships. I mean, that's the glory, you know, and that's why I said NBA was better back then, you know, back in the glory years of the 80s and 90s, man, because those guys, they wanted to win. They wanted to win rings. It wasn't just about the money. It was, we want to win rings, you know, and it was just better. The first round playoffs was 5 games then. You could sweep somebody with 3-0, you know. The NBA did a money grab. They made every series 7 games now. They should have just left that series at 5. They should have left it a 5-game series in the first round the way it used to be. You know, that put more of an urgency on the teams. Like, well, hell, we got to win. You know, if we go down 2-0, we're done.
Oh, man, now you're going to make me come in on the call and be that guy that disagrees with everything.
Hey,
I didn't
go
want to
ahead,
do that.
Hey. Hey, the debate is, can James Harden get you where you need to be? Is that what you're talking about? You think James Harden is good enough to get them to the...
Yeah, we can get there. But the first thing, the seven-game series actually makes it harder. You're actually making it to where the top seeds are more likely to win. Those five-game series actually put a little chaos in because, a lesser team had more of a chance of pulling off some if they stole one of the first two home games or something like that. So,
To me, that's what made it great. I mean, look at 93. Look at 93 with the Nuggets and the Sonics, man. That won the best series ever. It went five games with Dikembe Mutombo and Robert Pack and Brian Stiff and all those boys winning in Seattle. That won the best series ever. I mean, that's the beauty of it, man.
You're
to have
gonna
that
have more upsets,
win.
But at the same time, hold up. The NBA fans, we might be somewhat of a different breed because we like to see the best against the best. And I hate to say it, but sometimes the small need to be crushed by the big corporation. And I want to see OKC against Golden State in the Western Finals. And I want to see Cleveland against Boston in the Eastern Finals. Like, that's just how it is in the NBA, man. We want to see the best players, storylines, and all of that. As far as, like, James Harden, going to a strip club or something like that, now, that's a sensibilities thing, man. You don't know how people, handle loss or sorrow or things like that, man. Some people, that's how they cope, man. Now, that's a weird lifestyle to where you go to a strip club after something like that. But that's how some people cope. But that doesn't mean that the person doesn't care. So, I mean, that's
we start
pushing narratives, man. Yeah. Like, we don't know that.
Well, I guess,
well enough to know.
Nas, I guess what bothered me, man, is that, dude, you just got waxed by 36 points. You didn't show up. You went 2 of 11 from the field, scored 10 points, didn't look like you wanted to be out there at all. And they did that without Kawhi Leonard. And that was a closeout game. And that's my point on James Harden.
Actually, that takes us to what we're talking about now. James Harden is the third best player in the NBA. So, yes, you can win with James Harden. Depends on what you put around him, what system you have in. Now, these last couple of years, the usage rates for James Harden were ridiculous. And when you get to the playoffs, the dude is broken down. And eventually he looks bad and they go home. So the Chris Paul signing or trade was great for them because now you have somebody who will handle the ball some of the time, get a little more rest for Harden, and you won't, like, treat him like some kind of old Cadillac that you're trying to ride all across the country. So the fact that they were on a historic pace right now, just with Chris Paul playing a few games, kind of lets you know this is a really good experiment. It's working well, and I actually like their team. I like their chances this year. They have more of a chance to beat Golden State to me than anybody.
Yeah. Well, I guess what gets me is that Chris Paul is kind of like the same type of boat as James Harden. They both need to show and prove when it matters most. Chris Paul's had a great team around him when he's in L.A., but what happens? In the crucial moments, he don't show and prove. I mean, so it's kind of like James Harden and him like the same. They two players who need to show and prove when the game's on the line and when it matters most. I mean, I agree with you, man, but look, with Chris Paul not getting much time.
Playoff samples are such small size samples of what we see that we tend to put narrative on stuff instead of being realistic. So Dirk has a couple of bad playoff runs where he doesn't play well and matters don't suit him. Then all of a sudden Dirk decides he's going to take some of those threes to the post. And Dirk wins a chip, and now we just forget all of the other stuff that we said about Dirk all those years. So I think everybody gets labeled with these tags until they win, and then we just say, okay, well, I guess we didn't say that anymore. Like, I grew up when people used to say, oh, Michael Jordan can never win a title because he's a scoring champ, and scoring champs never win titles. So it's like all of these kind of labels we create, man. They're only as good as your next season, and those labels fall away as soon as the person beats them. But playoffs, man, it's such a small sample size of what a player can do. And, we tend to overstate, the outcomes of them sometimes. So, I mean, Harden's a baller, man. We got to give it to him.
In
the playoffs?
He's a baller.
I agree. But,
he's a stat stuffer, man. Regular season, he's a stat stuffer. Yeah, he's a stat stuffer during regular season.
He played 35 minutes a game, and you're handling the ball the majority of the game, initiating the offense, and creating your own offense, if you do that all season, that guy's going to break down. So I think D'Antoni realizes that now, and I think they'll do a better job of maintaining him. And the master of all that is the great Popovich. Popovich figured out long ago, hey, look, man, this rest thing is important.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you do got to rest the guys. I just, you know, I need to see it, man. And I guess, like I said, my gripe goes back with James Harden back in the 2012 finals when I was an Oklahoma City fan, and you had him, Westbrook, Durant. And Westbrook and Durant showed up. I've never seen James Harden as scared and timid as I ever seen him in that, you know, until I seen him in that series. I mean, James Harden passed up shots. James Harden averaged 12 points a game, and they needed him in that finals. The dude shot 7 to 22 from the three-point line, and I never seen James Harden pass up open looks. And it's like he was scared in that finals. And I guess ever since that finals, man, where I didn't see him do nothing when it matters most, that's all I've been seeing years later. You know, so I guess that's what I'm saying. I need to see him prove it this year. Prove it.
Yeah,
you know,
but he's
then
also
I won't
the guy,
feel that
he's
way.
He's also the guy who closed out the Spurs to get them to those finals. You know what I mean? We can remember all of it, and then that give us a better picture. But, yeah, he was horrible in that finals. Like, that was one of the worst final performances you ever see from a good player. Like, he was bad.
And I was saying, that's the biggest stage, you know. And James Harden's a Hall of Fame player, man. I mean, I'm not saying he's not good. He's great. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm just saying he might be one of those Hall of Famers that never get a championship.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah.
A lot depends on what's put around them. But I
That's
like
true.
What they're doing, and, you know, their GM is really creative about getting pieces in there. Hell, they signed Gerald Green yesterday, you know, another
half-length
piece to kind of
add to what they
have. So.
I saw that. And you see the game last night, man. You know, James jacked the game last night. You know, dude, they blew a 26-point lead.
Those are some of the worst calls I've ever seen in my life.
But, yeah, but you know what, Nas, though? But Nas, you know what? Nas, he know Marcus Smart is an irritant, man. You can't let him get to you. But you kind of got
to
blame James for that, man. You know Marcus Smart is an irritant.
You don't make that call in that moment in a game. You know how many times you could have done that to Michael Jordan in a big game? Like,
yeah.
Come on, man. You got somebody face guarding, holding, putting their damn nostrils in somebody's chest hair. Like, you get real, man. Like, you know that dude was flopping. So, I mean,
that's what he is. He's
a
flopper.
Like
he is a flopper.
Games. You know what I mean? So, I didn't like the call at all.
Yeah,
great
I agree with you. Let
Boston,
it play out. Yeah. Let it play out, man.
and look, Houston's going to deal with that all season. The amount of threes that they shoot, they can get up big and then go cold, and somebody can come storming back on them. So it's another aspect that we're going to see with Houston.
Yeah. And I guess that's the reason. That's one of the reasons why I just can't see them beating Golden State in the seven-game series, because it's like they're too dependent on the threes, whereas Golden State is the best defensive team in the league. You know, you got Durant, like, leading the league in block shots, man. I don't know, man. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be tough for them to beat Golden State in the seven-game series.
Man,
I see the Spurs as the best option.
Yet. Think about this with Golden State, just like every other dynasty we've had in the NBA. Those long runs till June, it adds up, man. Mm-hmm. Playoff miles mean something. Kobe will tell you. And we're going to start to see more nagging injuries for Golden State, and they're going to have to figure out how they deal with it. So it ain't going to be easy. It never is.
Oh, no. No, I don't know that. It's not going to be easy. I just think that, you know, I just don't see how Houston could do it in a seven-game series. I mean, not Houston. Yeah, in a seven-game series. I mean, who's going to guard Kevin Durant? I mean, they got Trevor Ariza. He's one of the best
players
in the league.
Yeah, they're going to have to be
ridiculous. But he's not going to be able to guard Kevin Durant, you know? And then you got Draymond Green, the Swiss Army knife. You know, he does everything. Who's going to be able to guard him? Eric Gordon, he can't guard Klay Thompson. And then we already seen what, you know, Steph did to Chris Paul. It's like you said, man, we're going to find out. But it's going to be a tough
Steph
series, man.
With the ankle injury again, so we don't know how bad that's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a point. That's true, man. That's true. But, man, dude, Nas, thanks for calling me, man. You know, once again, every Friday, man, from 6:30 to 8, I'll be on these airways, man. And you can hit me up. All right, I got another call. Let's see who this is. What's going on? This is Post Chat with T. Wars.
How's it going? This is Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm literally just tuning in, but sounds like you're talking about whether the Rockets can beat the Warriors in a seven-game series.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I think it's highly unlikely simply because the Warriors are basically Team USA minus one person. But, I mean, I think that the Rockets, I don't want to say they can't beat the Warriors. Is it unlikely? Yes. But the Rockets can beat the Warriors simply because they have an X factor that even the Warriors don't necessarily have, right? And that's that the Rockets, I believe, are taking something like 53% of their shots from three-point range, right? So
yeah.
The vast odds are that they don't end up hitting 40% or 50% of those during a series. But if they're going to mm-hmm. take 53% of their shots from three-point range and hit 40 to 50% of them, they can beat any team in the history of the NBA at any point in time, right? But the thing is just – I think the Rockets, remember before Golden State, like, really started to become, like, a powerhouse team, and there was always the narrative, you can't win a championship with a jump-shooting team, and
yes.
they totally took that notion and beat it to death with a baseball bat, right? But I do think that the Rockets go so far to the extreme of what the Warriors are attempting to do that they almost mm-hmm. bring that notion back a little bit, right? In the sense that, like, if you have the greatest shooters in the history of the NBA in your backcourt, you know, two of the greatest shooters of all time, and you want to take most of your shots from three-point range, then by all means go ahead. But the Rockets, well, I think they're a really good regular season team, and I think they're a really elite team in general. I just think, like, you're playing against the odds, right? Like, the odds that you're going to be able to hit 40% of your three-point shots when, you know, a team has the opportunity to have that much talent and plan against you, like, and have that much time to prep and plan against you and adjust within a series, and has the elite just guys that can guard the three-point basket, like, that the Warriors have.
Yeah.
I just don't see the Rockets being able to win that series.
Yeah, me neither, Tom. And that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, you know, the Warriors are the best defensive team in the NBA. The Rockets are not going to be able to get all those threes off. They're not going to be able to shoot 53s against the Warriors, you know, on a regular basis in the seven-game series. And as you said, the Warriors have the best three-point shooting backcourt in NBA history. But not just that. You got Kevin Durant who can shoot from behind the three-point line. You got Andre Iguodala coming off the bench that can make three-point shots and just play ball. And you got Nick Young now. You got Swaggy P who can score and who can make jump shots. I just don't see the Warriors losing to Houston in the seven-game series either. I think the team that has the best shot to beat them is the Spurs.
Actually said, though, right? Curry's ankle has always been an issue for him, right? And the fact that it's acting up a little bit, if Curry's not 100% or if Curry is hurt, I think the Rockets will beat the Warriors. Because I actually think that, I think it depends on Chris Paul being legitimately, like, healthy. But, I mean, P.J. Tucker he's hitting threes this season. I don't know if that keeps up, but he can legitimately defend a Durant. And I think that while Durant is he can bother Durant. Defend Durant is a ridiculous play. Durant will.
I don't know. Durant can shoot right over the top of him, though, man. That's the thing.
Well,
Durant, he could just shoot right over the top of P.J. Tucker.
He can shoot over the top of anyone. I mean, that part doesn't really – I mean, the point is just the key to, I think, beating the Warriors is you need your best defenders – to not also be your best offensive players, and you need your best defenders to not hurt you offensively. So the Cavs' issue has always been that LeBron has to guard Durant, right? Like LeBron has to guard Durant. And when LeBron has to guard Durant and has to be your whole offense, I'm sorry. Like, he's Superman, but he's not, like, God.
It's not going to work.
So I think just if Curry's out, I mean – I think the Warriors are vulnerable because you've already kind of seen Klay Thompson is really good, but he's not the same player when he has to put the ball on the floor. You know,
no, he can't put the ball on the floor like that.
So, I mean, he's elite when it comes to catching and shooting. He might be one of the might be the greatest catch and shoot other than Ray Allen, and he might be better than Ray Allen in terms of catching and shooting threes, right? But when he has to create his own shot or he's asked to do other stuff, he tends to, A, take bad shots, which sometimes go in because he's Klay Thompson and they'll go in. But also, like, you know, his percentages certainly go down. He's not as effective. Like, Durant has to score almost 40 points a game. Draymond doesn't look as good this year. I do think the Warriors are one injury away to really any of those core four guys to being legitimately vulnerable. But if all four of those guys are healthy and it's the playoffs, maybe someone beats them. But, like, it's going to be random and, like, it will take a Herculean effort to do it.
Yeah. It's like the Spurs are the only team that I believe in the West that has a chance. I still don't have faith in – I don't have faith in Houston because I really don't have faith in James Harden or Chris Paul because in their careers, in the biggest moments, they've, you know, played small. So it's like Chris Paul and James Harden have to prove to me before I can say – okay, game seven, you know, big shot need to be made, play need to be made, Chris Paul and James Harden going to do it. I can't say it because I haven't seen them do it when it matters most. Spurs, you know, just because of Popovich, I believe they have a shot to beat the Warriors.
I mean, I think that you're probably right. I think the Rockets, I mean, they have so much good talent, and I think that, I do think the Harden thing is legitimate because he seems more susceptible to mental lapses. The Chris Paul one I've never bought as much. Like, I just think his game – the problem with Paul, and I'm kind of contradicting myself here, is that I just don't think Paul's game translates as well to the postseason, right? Like, he's a small he kind of equates to, like, you know, like a dominant pitcher, like a Greg Maddux, right? Like, you know, Maddux would throw like 89 miles an hour. He would win the Cy Young. He'd be dominant. But you get to the postseason, and the problem is when you throw 89 miles an hour or 88 miles an hour, you can't make mistakes like the guys that throw 97 miles an hour. So he would make a mistake, and it would cost the team, right? I think Chris Paul, because of his size, because of his game generally being in the mid-range, he's just an easier player to shut down, and so I don't know if it's like whether he's clutch or not. I just think his game is easier to shut down. Harden's different. I think you're right on Harden. He needs to mentally show us that he can do it, but like talent wise, game wise, like he should be able to do it. I just think that
he has all the tools. He has all the tools offensively. Tools offensively to perform.
Yeah, it's no knock on anyone to lose to the Warriors, though. You know, like.
I agree. Hey, I gotta ask you, Tom. Is this Tom that was the Lakers fan out of L.A.?
It is. It is.
Oh man, dude, you used to call me last year, man.
I know, it's been a while,
dude. Look, hey man, it's good to hear from you, man. Cause I was telling my wife, I'm like, man, I miss my buddy Tom, you, and my man Bryce out of the Bronx, man, or Bryce out of Brooklyn. You guys called me faithfully, man. I really appreciated that. But last Friday is my first show back in like a year, man. So it's good to hear from you, man. But
it's good. I'm glad you're back, man.
But,
awesome.
But not since we on the phone. You know, we gotta talk about your Lakers, man. And I gotta ask you. Me and my wife had this debate all the time. I like Lonzo Ball, man. I was on the Lonzo Ball train when he's at UCLA. But I got to ask you, man, how you feeling about Lonzo Ball with the Lakers? I'm a Kyle Kuzma guy. I like him.
So I was pretty bullish on the young Lakers. I mean, the last 2 weeks have been kind of just depressing because I think between injuries and them losing some game. I mean, what I'm trying to focus on, because I think injuries have really hurt them in the last three games, and they've lost two or three games that they shouldn't have. But the actual stretch before that, where they played the Warriors twice, they beat the Rockets, mm-hmm. they took the Warriors to OT twice. Lonzo, so his shot was at the beginning of the season was almost like, I mean, it was like cringeworthy to watch him shoot. You could see he was in his own head. If you look at his stats, the last like seven or eight games, he's actually turned the corner a bit. He's shooting 37% from three. Mm-hmm. I think what alarms, so there's a lot of things I like about Lonzo. I think you're seeing his clear value from being on the court, because the Lakers went from almost beating really, really good teams to losing to horrendous teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to figure it out, because I think the guy's smart. He works hard. And if you eliminate the hype train, which was built by his own family, like,
yeah, daddy.
The kid's 19. It's like the kid's 19. People are treating, you know, he has a lot of stuff to work on in his game, and people are treating him like he's supposed to come in and be Chris Paul. And like, sorry,
yeah.
It doesn't happen. Like, you know, I think he's going to be, and also people are judging him, like not taking into account that other rookies are having the same issue. So I actually really like Lonzo. I think we got to give him time. I think to really blossom, he's going to need to work on his shot, and he's going to need to change his shot. But like,
yes.
You know, you can't judge Lonzo like a normal player just because he isn't. Like he's very unique. Like, and sometimes like that doesn't happen that often, but sometimes someone's unique. He needs to really work on his finishing at the rim, because that has been a slightly alarming
yes.
thing to me. He gets blocked at the rim
yes.
a ton.
That's what drives me nuts about him, Tom. He's 6'6",
yeah.
man, and I tell my wife, he's 6'6". Man, take them little dudes that's guarding you to the basket. If your jump shot
yeah.
not going, go to the basket. And it's like he's not aggressive. I mean, like you said, these last six or so games is the most aggressive I've seen him be. But before that, he wasn't aggressive at all. He'd break up court, hit it, you know, swing it to Brandon Ingram and just stand there, or throw it to Kyle Kuzma, and Kyle Kuzma would be aggressive.
So I think that Lonzo has limitations in terms of athleticism, right? Like, that's just an athleticism thing, right? Like, some people go to the basket and go up to dunk because they have the athleticism to do it. Lonzo,
uh-huh.
what I've noticed with him is when he goes for an alley-oop and gets to jump off of 2 feet, his athleticism is insane. When he jumps off of 1 foot, though, it doesn't seem to be the same. So it's something I think he can work on. But the key to Lonzo is that there's two things. If Lonzo can shoot threes and shoot off of the dribble to his right, he can be a
mm-hmm.
superstar. If he can't do either of those things, he's going to be Ricky Rubio. I think he has a high floor, but like, he has to figure those things out. He's not going to figure it out. He might figure out the three-point shot with his current shot, but he's not going to figure out how to shoot off of the bounce.
Mid-range, yeah.
With his
yeah.
shot. He's going to have to change
yeah.
it, and I think he's probably
yeah.
willing to do it. Kuzma's been a revelation. Like, it's kind of nuts to me. Like, I mean, say what you will about the guy. I've definitely heard the counter-arguments, which is like, oh, he's 21, he's blah, blah, blah. Like, he doesn't play defense that well. The guy was the 27th pick. He's scoring like 30 points a game. I mean,
I know.
I
know, man.
He's the kind of pick, and this is why I'm not that down on the Lakers season right now. I think the stuff going on with Randall, where they're basically benching him, is boggling my mind, because I thought
yeah,
he was
it don't make any
really
sense,
well.
Man. Because when he comes off the bench, he performs at a high level. So I don't understand it either.
Someone's going to get him for nothing, and he's going to be really good, and I'm going to be really pissed. But I can't comment on it just because I don't even get it. But Kuzma, I thought, has been great. I think the most understated part of the season has been, I think Brandon Ingram has actually taken a big step forward. And so, well, I don't think the Lakers – what's crazy is, if you ask me who has the best chance to be a superstar out of – if I had to rank Lonzo, Ingram, and Kuzma, just because of Ingram's raw tools, I'd put Ingram number one, Kuzma two, and Lonzo three right now. And that's not a knock on Lonzo. It's just more like, I can't believe how good Kuzma is. Like, he's so smooth.
Yeah.
He does the things offensively that I don't think Lonzo does. Like, Kuzma, he blows by guys. His
mm-hmm.
footwork is insane. Like, he has offensive moves.
And he's just aggressive. He's aggressive.
He's
you know,
good,
when it all boils down to, he's aggressive and Lonzo's really not. You know, I mean, if Lonzo Ball would be more aggressive like he's been, you know, before he got injured, then, you know, like you said, we'd see a different Lonzo.
But, I mean, like, there's aggressive, like, Nick Young is aggressive, but most of the time that's a disaster, right? And then they're like, Kuzma is, like, I'm amazed. A pick like this is the type of pick where, like, theoretically, if the Lakers ever get good again to the point where free agents are actually coming, having having this guy locked up for what is, I think, like $1.7 million a year for 4 years, like, that's the kind of stuff that wins you championships.
That's a steal.
When you're paying a guy
that's a steal.
That, $2 million, he's like 1% of your cap or 2% of your cap. Like, and he's a starter. Like, that's how you're able to sign three max guys. And that's, you know, like, so I actually do need to run, but I'm really happy you're back. Are you going to be back every single week now? Or?
Oh, yeah, every Friday. So that's what I'm going to tell you, Tom. So Friday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock Eastern time, man. I know that's, like, early for you. So, just feel free to call me, man. You know, I like talking to you, man, and I'm glad to hear from you again. Like I said, it's been like a year. And like I said, I told my wife, I'm like, I always had Tom and I always had my man Bryce from Brooklyn, man, who always called me, man. I really appreciate it. So, yeah, call me, man, next Friday. All right, man. Thank you. Have a good New Year, buddy. All right. That's my man Tom, man. That made me feel good, man. I just talked to this guy for like a year. You know, he was like one of my loyal callers, and it was good to hear from him again. But I got another call. Let's see who this is. What's going on? This Sports Chat with T-Wash. Who's calling?
Nah, this is Naj, man. I was just...
Oh, what's going on, Naj?
I ain't nothing, man. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I it wouldn't be nothing I'd disagree with that conversation y'all just had. I mean, yeah, I see Lonzo as Rubio. A lot of people see a lot of other things with him. But, I mean, you know, that's not a knock. You know, Rubio's going to be a guy who plays 10 to 12 years in the league. You know, good guard. You know, that's not the worst of things, but
good facilitator. Good facilitator.
Right. I just think people got caught up in the hype and we're expecting, you know, a lot more. And it's like, wait a minute, dude, he has certain limitations. He doesn't have like super blow by speed. He's not a high riser. He doesn't get separation off the bounce, so he's gonna have to kind of figure things out as far as what he can do with that great vision he has. Going to have to definitely become a better shooter. Then in the half court, he has to figure out ways to make a threat because sometimes they're playing 4-on-5 with him on the floor. Like, you know, there's a lot he has to do. But, yeah, he's only 19, so he has a long way to go. But then the other side of that is potential can be dangerous when you hold onto it too long and then everybody else figures out that you have a low-value asset when you could have traded it at a, you know, a higher rate of what everybody else thought of in the market. So, it's a, you know, they got some decisions to make in the next few years with him. They got to figure out what he is and, you know, be settled with that.
I don't know, man. What do you think? You think Paul George is going to show up there next season, or you think they're going to try to go for LeBron? You know, the rumors out there about how LeBron liked Lonzo and, you know, may want to go out there. And he got a new home out there, you know, out in L.A. And what do you think is, you know, going to happen on that front?
When you talk about LeBron, somebody like Lonzo is way down on the list of whether he's going to come somewhere or not. You're talking about access to the front office and how much input he has. Does he like the other pieces? But I don't think Lonzo's a guy who you go somewhere because he's there. Like, I don't even think LeBron or anybody would look at him in that kind of, you know, that kind of light. It'll be a whole lot more factors before we get to Lonzo on the list of if Bron chose to go there.
Yeah. What do you think about Paul George? I think Paul George is going to end up going.
I don't know. A lot depends on how this season goes with OKC, what kind of playoff run they have. If Russ figures out how best to play with Melo and Paul George, you know, all of that stuff comes into play and whether he would try to make that choice. But, I don't know. That'd be interesting, man, because, I mean, that'd be a great, you know, secondary thing. Like, if you're not able to get LeBron and you get Paul George, hell, that'd be a beautiful thing for them.
I mean, because you know that's what he's been saying. That's the destination he's been saying he want to go, you know, all this time. You know, he's from there. He's from Fresno, so.
Yeah, the only question I would have is, would Paul George be arriving too early in that the young guys are still, you know, kind of figuring the NBA out and still, you know, further away from their prime than you would want to be to start making championship runs? Because you add Paul George to them, then you got to add a couple veteran pieces. And at that point, you're trying to win chips. Operation Rebuild is over. So I don't know if Paul is necessarily that asset to where you could, you know, just quick start that process right now. That would be my one question.
Yeah. I was saying, because you know they're going to have a lot of cap space. They're going to have enough cap space for two max players next season, next offseason.
Yeah, we've heard that before, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, we've heard that for a few summers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they haven't been able to get nobody, but I don't know. They may be able to get somebody this year, you know. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting, though. But
yeah,
if they do get Paul George, what do that mean for Kyle Kuzma?
That you don't want to ruin, though. That's the thing. Because they're going to get a pick this year, I'm assuming. And, you know, you add that other young piece to what you already have. For some reason, Luke is deciding that he's going to play Randall as the backup center. And he's going to use him at the five because Kuzma is so good that he's kind of ruined their power forward spot. I mean, just think about it. Them reaching into the draft and pulling out Larry Nance and Kuzma.
I know.
Nobody valued as high assets, and now everybody wants them. You know what I mean? So,
that kind of
made the Randall situation tough because he's an undersized four that they've told to bulk up a bit, and they're playing at five sometimes. But
yeah.
I mean, it's crowded, man. So.
Yeah, it is. And you know, kind of like what Tom said with him being a Laker fan, you know, it do kind of baffle me that Randall don't get enough. It seems like Randall don't get a lot of minutes as he should because when he comes in, he produces for him. And it's like I don't understand why, you know, Luke Walton be taking him in and out. I mean, you know, Brooke Lopez,
but think how hard it is
all he do is shoot three-pointers now.
Off the floor, though. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to keep those two guys off the floor. So that's why, you know, they're making the choice to play Randall as the backup five. And I think in some cases we're going to see them start him at the five and then play small ball, which, I mean, why not? Like you said, he's trying to extend his range to three-point area now. So, I mean, why not? Go ahead and do it. We're going to keep rolling out your man, the twin. And what happened to the Lithuanian kid? That's what I'm wondering.
For the Lakers?
I never see him anymore. Yeah, the center, the Lithuanian backup center. What happened to that kid?
Oh, they may have sent
like
him down to the G League because I never see him anymore either. I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about because he started for him in the summer league.
Yeah,
I cannot remember.
Ago,
his name,
he looked
though.
Like, you know, he was going to be something that they could kind of, you know, work with, and then all of a sudden now looks like he's on the outs.
Vucic is
Zubik
something. Zubik,
yeah,
that's it.
I can't
Zubik.
Think of the kid's name.
Zubik, that's it, man. They might have moved him down to the G League because I haven't even seen him on the bench. Have you seen him on the bench? I haven't even seen him on the bench.
Yeah, it's been a while.
They might have moved to the G League, man. That's the only thing I can think of, but I think they still have him.
Yeah, I guess, man. Everybody's doing it their own way. I'm down here in Atlanta, and they just decided to do a total tear down and rebuild. So they're pushing Dennis as the guy to shoot most of the shots, and they're just trying to get picks and young assets to move forward. So they're doing
Schroeder,
the old
Schroeder is like Schroeder is like really your only guy down there, man. I mean, don't you guys have a rookie?
Hey, man, when you tank, you tank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't play around with it. Go ahead and tank. Because I'm looking at Chicago, and I'm like, look, y'all got to move one of those power forwards before y'all start winning too much. Because you bring Maricek and your boy in, and that mess around and mess your pickup. Somebody got to go.
Yeah. Maricek, you talk about the kid from Arkansas, Bobby Portis?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them got to go so you can play your rookie more and let him make the mistakes he makes, and, you know, you continue to lose and get your draft capital right. But, hey, man,
well,
I'm going to hang back and listen and let you, you know, roll with your show, man. I just, you know, was ain't listening after, you know, talking to you initially.
Okay.
But ease up on
right,
Harden, my man. Ease up on
Harden. Yeah, I got to check him out, man. He ain't hard to like. I used to like him when he played for Oklahoma City. I liked him. It just disappointed me that he just don't show up when it matters, you know. And like I said, you know, hopefully he is sure improved this year, and that, you know, I have a different thought of him. But as usual, you know, hey, man, thanks, Nas, for calling. And, you know, Fridays, 6:38, man, feel free to call whenever you want, man. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't just have to be the topics I'm throwing out, man. Whatever type of sports, you know, issue you want to talk about, man, we can talk about it. All right, well, Nas, cool. Have a good New Year, buddy. All right. That my man Nas out of Atlanta. Some pretty good night, man. Getting some calls. Got a call from my old buddy Tom, who I used to talk to. Good to hear from him. But these last few minutes, man, I'm going to talk about this. And I know you guys know what this is. Take a listen. That's that classic NFL theme. Now, what I'm going to talk about is near and dear to my heart, being that I'm a diehard New England Patriot fan of 25-plus years. The question, did the Patriots make a mistake by trading away Jimmy Garoppolo? Now, to a lot of Patriot fans, this is probably going to be a blasphemous statement I make, but hell yeah. They made a mistake. I've always liked Jimmy Garoppolo. I liked it when they drafted him out of Eastern Illinois. He had game. They brought him into New England, had him in that system for 4 years. And truthfully, my hope was that the Patriots would win this year another championship with Tom Brady and then just give him his release out of respect and let him choose the next team he want to go to since he plans on playing the 45. And then just start anew with Jimmy next year. And I believe that Jimmy would have been good enough to keep this train rolling in Foxborough. I mean, look what the dude is doing in San Francisco. The dude is 4-0 in San Francisco. He's averaging like over 300 yards passing the game. The dude literally shredded the best defense in the league, Jacksonville, last week. Put up 44 points on them. Jimmy G is balling. My fear is Tom Brady getting hurt before this season is over with, before these playoffs are over with, and then having, you know, being relegated to go to Brian Hoyer, which is ultimate doom for the New England Patriots. Whereas if Brady was to get hurt and they throw Jimmy in there, Patriots are going to be fine. They're going to continue to roll because Jimmy know the system. He know the players. He has a rapport with most of the players. Jimmy makes plays, and he's more mobile and everything. And if you watch these San Francisco games, you will see exactly what I'm talking about. So, hell yeah, I believe the Patriots made a big mistake by trading away Jimmy Garoppolo. And the thing that's crazy is I listen to a lot of Boston radio stations, you know, being a New England Patriot fan. The word is that Belichick wanted to keep Tom Brady. I mean, keep Jimmy Garoppolo. But that decision was Bob Kraft, the owner, who decided to keep Tom Brady and, you know, trade away Jimmy Garoppolo. And I guess the thing that ticked me off is that if you're going to trade Jimmy, they should have did it in the offseason where they could have got more for him. I mean, they got this little funky second-round pick, you know, and I'm hoping that maybe it'll be Baker Mayfield. I like Baker Mayfield. I think he'd be a good New England Patriot backup. I think that he could learn from Brady and be good. He's mobile. He can throw the ball too. So that's like my hope now, that the Patriots could draft Baker Mayfield and have him as the backup, and have him learn under Tom Brady for these next couple years that Brady's going to play. But as I said, I wish they would have traded Tom Brady. Well, not trading him, but after this season, release him out of respect. Let Tom Brady go somewhere else and finish his career, start next year with Jimmy, fresh. And I believe that the Patriots will continue to roll. Whereas now, once Brady go down, you know, a lot of the people that hate the Patriots will be happy. You know, once Brady go down, then the Patriots, you know, they'll start going back to the pack. And I truly believe that. And that's why I wish they would have kept Jimmy. The kid is 4-0 since he started for the San Francisco 49ers, going for 5-0 on Sunday against the Rams. And I'm pretty sure he'll get it because the Rams are going to be resting Todd Gurley, Goff, and all their key players. They're going to be resting. So San Francisco going to finish the season on a high note. Finish with 5 straight wins by Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, basically solidifying that you have your quarterback of the future. And then they're going to take their picks in this draft and build around Jimmy and get him some more weapons. Like, he needs some receivers. He need maybe another tight end. I mean, the Garrett Celek kid is pretty good. And his top receiver is Marquise Goodwin. They have a good rapport with each other, I noticed, because every game he's going to Marquise Goodwin, and Goodwin's been making the catches for him. So get you a couple more receivers in this draft, San Francisco. Maybe get you another tight end. Get you a backup running back to back up Carlos Hyde. San Francisco's going to be in the mix in the NFC West next year, man. I'm telling you. And a lot of Patriot fans are going to regret it. They're going to be just like me. You know, right now, they okay. You know, a lot of people, sure, if you listen to the Boston stations, a lot of people are fine. They fine with, you know, them getting rid of Jimmy and keeping Tom Brady. I'm not. And, you know, the better Jimmy get, the more people going to be like, damn, we should have kept him. And that's how I feel right now. I wish they would have kept Jimmy. Now, that leading off into on this day in sports, you know, another thing that's dear to my heart, once again, like I said, is the Patriots. On this day, December 29th, 2007, Tom Brady threw for his 50th touchdown to Randy Moss, which broke an NFL record. Now, the thing that suck about that, you know, that's the 2007 season. That was against the Giants. That last game of the damn season, that was against the Giants. Well, he broke that record. That passed Randy Moss for number 50. That was a tough game. The Giants, it was back and forth. And the Patriots finally pulled away and won and became an NFL best record in history, 16-0. Now, the unfortunate thing for us Patriots fans is that those two teams will link up again in the Super Bowl, where the luckiest damn play ever happened in my life. And I'm still not going to give Eli Manning credit for that. I'll give him credit for the Super Bowl in 2011 that they won here in Indianapolis. That was just a good throw to Mario Manningham that basically set up the game-winning score for the Giants in that Super Bowl against the Patriots here in Indianapolis in 11. I'll give him credit for that. He gets no credit for that 2007 Super Bowl. That was the luckiest crap I've ever seen in my life. And it's crazy because the play before, it was like three sequence of plays. That was a mess up on my part. It was like three sequence of plays. He threw the pass, and it literally went right in between Asante Samuel's hands. That should have been an interception. That would have been game over. Then the next damn play, you got four dudes who can't tackle Eli Manning. And then that's when he flings it up. And the ball literally gets stuck in David Tyree's helmet. And I guess the thing that really ticks me off about that catch, that lucky Super Bowl, is that after that, you never heard anything else from David Tyree. Now, if David Tyree would have went on to become a superstar, wide receiver, a pro bowler, an all-pro, okay, that's fine and dandy. You know, he earned it. He made the lucky Super Bowl catch that basically helped win the game, and he went on to become a star. This dude is literally on the street. We never heard from him again after that Super Bowl. So it's like that's a one-in-a-million shot. That's the luckiest crap I've ever seen in my life. And like I said, I would never give Eli Manning credit for that Super Bowl because that was just luck. That was crap. And because of that Super Bowl, I never left my house again whenever they played Super Bowl. Well, I did, actually. I left last year when they played the Falcons. You know, usually when I stay home, they win the Super Bowl. So that's basically the show for today. I want to thank all the people who called. I want to thank my man Nas. I want to thank Dave. I want to thank Tom. I want to thank the Idaho kid Sam. I want to thank Q. Thank all you guys for calling me and, you know, helping this show out. I really appreciate it. I love sports, and I want to talk to a bunch of people that love sports also. I mean, like I said, this is the type of show where you get your point across. If you got topics, you know, different sports topics you want to talk about, you want to present something to me that we can discuss, then you can do it. You know, you can comment about the topics that I throw out there every week. But my show is going to be every Friday from 6:30 to 8, Sports Chat with T-Wash. And the call-in number is 347-855-8034. And I'm going to say my NFL picks right quick. Hey, for this weekend, you got the Packers and the Lions. I'm going with the Lions. You got the Texans and the Colts. I'm going with the Colts. The Jets and the Pats. Of course, I'm going with the Pats. They have to win so they get the number one seed. Cowboys and Eagles, meaningless game for both teams because the Cowboys are out of it and the Eagles are resting their players because they already got the number one seed sold up. You got the Bills and the Dolphins. The Bills are still fighting for their playoffs live, so I got them winning. They have to win. You got the Chargers and the Raiders. The Chargers are still fighting for their playoff lives, that last wild card spot. So they really need to beat the Raiders, and I have them beating the Raiders. And then my man, who I was just talking about, Jimmy G, the 49ers and the Rams. I'm taking the 49ers because the Rams are going to be resting Todd Gurley, Goff, Aaron Donald, you know, some of the major stars on their team. They're not going to play. So Jimmy G is going to finish the season 5-0, and he could have been a Patriot and start next year for the Patriots, as I hoped, but it didn't happen. You got the Chiefs and the Broncos. I'm going with the Chiefs. Broncos just completely tanked and gave up on the season weeks ago. Big game, Saints. Well, no, it's not a big game, but the Saints, it's a big game for the Saints. They have to win, and I have them beating the Bucks. Now, this is the big game. The Panthers and the Falcons. The Falcons need to win to solidify that number six seed in the playoffs. So I got them beating the Panthers. Then you got the Cardinals and Seahawks. I'm going with the Seahawks. The Ravens and the Bengals. I'm going with the Ravens. The Titans and the Jags, I'm going with the Titans because they need it too. They need to win, and the Jags will be resting players. Redskins and Giants, I'm going with the Redskins. The Steelers and the Browns, I'm going with the Steelers. They'll win. They have to win. Just in case the Patriots lose, then they can get that number one seed. The Patriots win, they get the number two seed. So the Steelers have to win that game. Then you got the Bears and the Vikings. I'm going with the Vikings. They basically got to buy the second seed sold up, but they'll beat the Bears just because of the division rival. So basically, that's the show for the day. Like I said, I want to thank everybody for coming out, and I have a saying that I normally say, you know, at the end of my show. Sports is basically the fabric of society. Whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey, we all as humans have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, could you imagine life without it? I want to wish everybody a happy new year, and, you know, hopefully all your new year's resolutions come true. And I just wish you all the best. Thank you guys, and I'll talk to you next year.